White, St. Helena, California, December 1907. My dear son, W.C. White, I receive your cards stating your whereabouts and where you intend to go next. I am thankful to be at home again, although were I free from the work of preparing books and answering letters, I certainly would choose to be in Southern California, not Los Angeles, but Glendale or Loma Linda. I scarcely dared to speak to you on the morning you left, for I was on the point of breaking down. I was very glad indeed to have Sarah, McEnterfer, and Clarence Chrysler with me on my journey home. On Sabbath, I insisted on speaking once more in the place where our people hold their services, that I might give the message that the Lord had given me for them. When I went into the church, I had hardly strength enough to stand on my feet. There was a good congregation, among them several of the wealthy class. All listened with close attention, and the Lord, who is supreme, gave me, his weak servant, strength to deliver his message to the people. A spirit of solemnity rested upon me, and the Spirit of God upheld me. I desired to speak to these people again on Sunday, but concluded that it was not best to venture too much. We left on Monday morning. I lay down on one of the seats in the car and obtained a little sleep and considerable rest. But when we arrived at Los Angeles, I had a very disagreeable experience in getting from the station to the restaurant. It was the day before Christmas, and the people were preparing for the holidays. The streets were crowded with carriages and people. We had to stand for some time on the sidewalk waiting for our car, while the crowd came and went continually. At times, I had hard work even to keep my footing, but I said to myself, "Be not thou cast down, nor discouraged." When we reached the restaurant, we had to climb the stairs to the third story to Elder Haskell's room. By that time, I was quite exhausted and spent all the time there resting. Again, on returning to the station, we were compelled to stand on the street amidst the confusion and bustle for a long time before the right car passed. And then, at the station, we had to press through the crowd of carriages, bicycles, and people to reach our train. I was very thankful when we were at last aboard the car that was to carry us to Oakland. We secured a drawing room which accommodated Sarah, our housekeeper, and myself, and by this arrangement, the advantage of having a private room cost us only 50 cents extra. The package of bedding was soon unrolled and our berths made up, and I assure you I was ready for my bed, for after so much confusion and bustle, I was quite exhausted. But soon, as has been my experience many times, I felt my weariness and anxiety leave me entirely, and all through the night, I enjoyed a sense of peace and comfort and restfulness. I could not have rested more comfortably in my bed at home. The evidence was given me that the angels of the Lord were watching over me. I was awake many hours of the night, and yet not one disagreeable thought or feeling came over me. I wished that those who knew how weary I was when I left the restaurant could understand what comfort and peace I enjoyed. It was one of the most restful, peaceful nights I have passed for a long time. For this, I praise the name of the Lord. When we consider the times in which we live and the many dangers by which we are threatened, I am urged to say to all who have had the light of present truth, walk in the light as Christ is in the light. To those who are engaging in commercialism in connection with the health food business, I am instructed to say, keep your minds stayed upon God. Avoid everything like extravagant investments. Be prudent in your preparation of special foods. Satan is untiring in his efforts to invent schemes by which to draw money from our possession. Keep to the simple, nourishing foods that can be recommended in your health talks as within the reach of all. Do not pay large sums of money for the secrets of the manufacture of certain special lines of food. These foods are not positively essential, and they are often very expensive. Many of these foods will be presented as wonderful productions. Foods prepared in a simple way will accomplish just as much good for your physical nourishment, and by proving your willingness to deny self, you will reap great blessing. Your means is a treasure lent to you by God. That part which you invest for physical sustenance should be spent on simple, nourishing foods, such as you can ask the blessing of the Lord upon to the strengthening of your physical powers. Let not your food taste strongly of the greed of gold, so that it is difficult for you to give due consideration to the food that will sustain the soul, the saving truths of God's Word, which bring spiritual life to those who learn to know their saving virtue. Restrain your desire for a great variety of food, or for foods that demand a great deal of preparation. Let the health reform diet stand in its own virtue. Take time to study the truth while you have opportunity to do this. Store the mind with the scriptures, which are essential for the spiritual life of the soul. All these unnecessary recipes had better be left alone, and we prepare simple dishes that will not require a great deal of time, and yet be satisfactory. All that we eat should be nourishing, yet enjoyable. Do not make slaves of yourselves, or of your children, slaves to appetite. Satan is working through many agencies to lead men to the gratification of appetite, that they may be satisfied with temporal food, and the time be occupied with the invention of food to satisfy the physical desires. He is pleased to see men and women absorbed in the question of the preparation of temporal food, and this is coming to be an important study with many. But this need not be. The physical strength can be more easily preserved by the use of simple foods, and time and talent need not be needlessly expended. The talent thus invested is not a soul-saving investment. We need now that men and women and youth shall become intelligent concerning Bible truth, which, if believed and obeyed, will result in the saving of the soul. We do not read of Christ eating of other than simple foods. Shall we not stop this concocting of new dishes and give our time to Bible study and Bible work? God calls us to the study of His Word, that we may be able to feed souls who are starving for the bread of life. These souls are to be found everywhere in the highways and the hedges, among the rich and the poor, the learned and the unlearned. Men and women in their blindness boast of wonderful inventions and progress in the line of cookery, but much of it is done to satisfy the greed for money. The eye of God is on this manufacturing curse. He notes the inward guilt of those who give the powers of their being to the acquiring of knowledge, that they may satisfy the greed of the soul to become supreme. And thus it will be to the very close of this earth's history. What message can the Lord give to His people to make them understand His will and cultivate simplicity in dress, simplicity in food, and set their tables with suitable, appetizing food, but not a great variety at one meal? The Lord's care extends over all His creatures. Consider the animal kingdom, the thousands of beasts and birds that know nothing of human care. But they are under God's providence. His care provides even for the sparrow. It does not fall to the ground without His knowledge. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Luke 15, verse 3-7. Here is represented the very work that we need to do, to search for the souls who are perishing in their sins. Christ has given to every man his work. To those who are spending time and talents to find something to criticize, I am instructed to say, Cease your work of criticism, and go to those who know not the truth, to your unbelieving neighbors and friends, and give them this last message of mercy and warning. There are many who need your talent of influence. Study how to approach them. 1,000 times more might be done for the advancement of the cause of God by those who know the truth. Let every worker bear in mind the lesson of the parable of the lost sheep, considering the labor that was put forth for the one who had gone astray. Study how to approach men and women with the truths of God's Word. By presenting the Word in a tactful, simply way, you will awaken an interest in the minds of those who have not now an intelligent understanding of its requirements. As you search for souls as they that must give an account, you will feel the need of softening the speech, and of bringing the disposition under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, that you may have success in finding the sheep that are lost. What is the next step in the parable? They call together their friends and neighbors and relate their experience, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found that which I had lost. And the neighbors rejoice. And I say unto you, the Savior declares, that likewise joy shall be in heaven. Verse 7. Here is represented an experience of great value. Let those men who are entrusted with a work of responsibility consider the saving of souls as the chief work to be done, remembering that every soul saved causes heaven to rejoice because of the manifestation of the power of God revealed through converted agencies. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, the Savior continued, if she lose 1 piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and search diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over 1 sinner that repenteth. Luke 15, verse 8 to 10. The whole chapter teaches intense interest for souls and the importance of diligent effort in their behalf. There is work enough for every soul who will carry this burden upon his heart. Every one who has experienced the work of grace in his own soul should keep that experience alive by earnest labor for those who know him not. Who will labor thus? Who will seek God in earnest prayer in behalf of his church until the body of believers shall repent before God that they have lost so many opportunities to reach the souls perishing in their sins? We need consecrated men and women who will engage in this line of labor in every church, large and small. Let those who claim to be converted bear in mind that their good works must bear witness that their faith is not merely a supposition, but a living reality. No one need be deceived or build his experience on the sand. Virtue is to be revealed in the life of the Christian that will represent the grace of Christ. These are the proofs that he is to give of the wonderful power of grace that converts a man from an evil worker to a worker of righteousness. These proofs of true reform revealed in the life entitle the Christian to all the blessings of heaven. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, Christ declares what is the influence of a godly life in the world. Ye are the salt of the earth, he says, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Matthew 5, verse 13. Many have the name of being Christians, but their words and spirit and actions are such that they testify that they have lost their saving property. And as far as their influence for good in the world is concerned, they are worthless. Ye are the light of the world, the Savior continued. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid, verse 14. Let us bear this in mind. The good works, the gracious words, the merciful deeds testify unmistakably to the character that God accepts. The heavenly light imparted by the example of Christ makes everyone who follows that example as a city that is set on a hill. He reflects light. The light cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men, the Savior commands, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Verse 16. Oh, that all to whom these words shall come might be led to consider the importance of their words and works to testify what manner of men they are. The truly converted man or woman gives to the world just that representation of character that represents the life and character of Christ. His light shines forth to all that are in the house. Wherever he is, his good works glorify God. The hasty speech is converted into the melody of kind and gracious words. In all his relations with the world, he reveals the Spirit of Christ. And all heaven rejoices in the evidence given to the world of what the true Christian should be in word and deed. Wherever we are, we may hold communion with God. How great is the privilege of the children of God! He calls each by name and distinguishes his faithful representatives from those who serve him not. Ye are not of the world, he declares, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. John 17, verse 16 to 19.